AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. It was time change weekend, time change Sunday yesterday. And man, that hour, I always love it when we spring forward as far as getting more daylight hours. Because after work, then you can go do things and you can get in a round of golf if you get to the tee box at 5 o'clock. But it's tough that first day or two. And so I was, I slept well last night and went to bed early after a long day. Well, I want to talk to you today about something that seems to be very timely and very appropriate. And that is this: what do you do when the work doesn't seem to be working? Have you ever had that happen in your life? I'm sure you have. I've had it happen in my life, where you're doing what you know is right to do, but the results are not there. The work doesn't seem to be working, and we say in our hearts, God, I don't understand what gives here. Now, the classic passage in the Bible of the work not seeming to be working is when God called Moses from the burning bush and told him to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, thus says Yahweh, let my people go. And so, you know, he argues with the Lord in Exodus 3 and 4, send it by somebody else, I'm not the guy, and you know, I don't have what it takes to do this, I'm not a good speaker, you know, all those things. That I did a sermon on that not too long ago, and it was, I think there are 5 excuses that he gives, if memory serves, to the Lord as to why he can't do it. And so finally he yields, and God sends him. If I were God, I would have said, forget it, I'll get somebody else. But God, patient, gracious, sends Moses. So Moses comes to Pharaoh, and he says this to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, all in caps in the New American Standard Bible. So thus says Yahweh, the God, the Elohim of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know Yahweh, and besides, I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise, he will fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors. Again, Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now many, and you would have them cease from their labors? So the same day, now get this, Moses went to Pharaoh by the word and will of God. God sent him there. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people and their foremen, saying, you are no longer to give the people straw to make brick as previously. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the quota of bricks which they were making previously, you shall impose on them. You are not to reduce any of it, because they are lazy. Therefore they cry out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let the labor be heavier on the men, and let them work at it, so that they will pay no attention to false words. So the taskmasters did it, and they went out, and their foreman, and they went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I'm not going to give you any straw. You go and get straw for yourselves wherever you can find it. But none of your labor will be reduced. So the people scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. And the taskmasters pressed them, saying, complete your work quota, your daily amount, just as when you had straw. Moreover, the foremen of the sons of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not completed your required amount either yesterday or today in making brick as previously? Then the foremen of the sons of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why do you deal this way with your servants? There's no straw given to your servants. Yet they keep saying to us, make bricks. And behold, your servants are being beaten. Isn't it the fault of your own people? But he said, you are lazy, very lazy. Therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord, to Yahweh. So go now and work, for you will be given no straw, yet you must deliver the quota of bricks. The foreman of the sons of Israel saw that they were in trouble because they were told, you must not reduce your daily amount of bricks. When they left Pharaoh's presence, they met Moses and Aaron as they were waiting for them. They said to them, these are the foremen of the sons of Israel, may the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. Then Moses returned to the Lord, and he said these words to the Lord, O Lord, O Adonai, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. What do you do when the work doesn't seem to be working? That's a good question. It's a good question for us individually as we follow the Lord, because so often the walk of obedience does not see the love, joy, and peace just immediately. It doesn't see the Red Sea parted immediately. That takes time. And as we think about what's going on in our nation, I believe Donald Trump is doing some really good things for America. But you could make the case that the work doesn't seem to be working. So I went online today and I said, okay, what are the big issues in America, facing America, this day, Monday, March 9th? Here were the things that came up. Number one, Iran names new Khamenei, the son of the late Ayatollah, as new supreme leader. And hardliners solidify control following the previous leader's death in the U.S.-Israeli airstrikes. This escalates tensions as Iran vows continuing resistance and launches counterattacks. Okay, so we took out the Ayatollah. They just name a new Ayatollah. Nothing has changed. That work isn't working. Number two, things going on in the world today. Oil prices soar past $100 a barrel. No doubt because of the war. And people are like, see, you know, Trump said he was going to bring prices down, but prices are going up. The work isn't working. Number three, ongoing U.S. military actions and casualties in the Iranian conflict. Nobody wants that. At least 7 to 8 U.S. service members have been killed recently, and Trump is pushing for an unconditional surrender. And they're insisting that it's working, but people are looking at a little snapshot. How's it going right now at this moment? Not good, people say. The work isn't working. Number four, economic fallout and market turmoil. Trump says that the economy will be roaring, but he's hitting headwinds and the stock market is struggling. Number five, domestic incidents tied to tensions. There was an explosive device put by Mayor Zoran Mandani's home, gunfire at Rihanna's L.A. mansion, long TSA lines and airport delays from partial government shutdown effects. Other notable U.S.-focused stories you know, we have the SAVE Act that seems to be stalling. And we had the situation on Friday night, Southwest Airlines flight 2094 from Nashville, Tennessee to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, was diverted to Atlanta International Airport because there was a man on there who was shouting, "Death to America, death to Trump, Allahu Akbar," said there was a bomb on the plane. And so you look at all this stuff and say, whatever we're doing doesn't seem to be working, let's stop it. And people get this knee-jerk reaction, and they look at the upcoming midterm elections, and we need to go in the whole opposite direction. That would be a disaster, a total disaster. But people are very impatient. They're very short-sighted. You know, oftentimes in the short term, the work doesn't seem to be working. What do you do when the work doesn't seem to be working? You don't scrap it because you say, oh, that's, you know, I just judge everything by the immediate effects. No, you have to look long term. If you're doing the right things, long term, they're going to produce good results. Doing the wrong thing can oftentimes produce good results in the short run. But it's the long term that's going to determine whether that was a good decision or not. You know, what the prodigal son did, go back to him as an example. What he did, he took his father's money. And I mean, it was so horrific what he did in that. The greatest short story ever written, according to Mark Twain, was Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. He is so disrespectful to his father. The younger son, give me the share of the inheritance. Dad, I can't wait around forever for you to die, so I want my share now. And as you know, a person, when they die and they're liquidated, well, then it's easy to divide up the inheritance. But when they're still alive, harder to do that. But the father did that. He gave the kid his share of the inheritance before his death, and the kid took the money, and it wasn't long before he bolted, and he wasted his money with wine, women, and song. And if you had asked him, after a week of leaving the father's house, when he was living it up and everything was fun and games, hey, how is this decision that you made going? Ah, it's going great. I'm having the time of my life. Best decision I ever made. I mean, I'm having so much fun, and you see all my friends, and these women just keep coming after me. This is the life. I am living it up. Well, maybe that was true for a week or two or three or four, however long that it lasted. But what do we read in the story? Well, as you know, because the prodigal son is a very familiar story, as you know, the money ran out. And when the money ran out, the friends were no longer there. And when he had spent everything, the Bible says, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. And he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, to feed the pigs. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. Hey, how's it going, prodigal son? Hey, you told me a week into this that it was going great. How's it going now? Well, it's terrible. It's terrible. Well, you know, last week we talked about Lot just moving his tents towards Sodom. Terrible decision. You can tell what the future is going to be based on the direction that his life was going, and the future of his life was horrible, although it wasn't horrible immediately. So, here's the point. You don't judge a thing by where it is. You judge a thing by where it's headed. Are there going to be hiccups along the way as we walk with the Lord, as we do what He wants us to do, as we make decisions based on what is right for the masses? Of course. But you don't bail out. You don't jump ship just because you meet some resistance. You keep doing what you know is right to do, what God would want you to do. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. We are up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And before we jump back into the topic for today, when the work doesn't seem to be working, and we're focusing in on Moses, as the Lord sent Moses to Pharaoh to say to Pharaoh, "Thus says Yahweh, thus says the Lord, let my people go." Before we get back into that, I just want to mention to you about Activate Summit 2026. When is this? This is July 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Cadence Bank Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi. Activate Kids programs for ages 6 through 12. You get your tickets before regular pricing ends April 30th. So the cost right now is $175 for main sessions, ages 13 and up, and $75 for Activate Kids ages 6 through 12, free for children 5 and under. There's no child care provided. This is for families. You're going to have vendors and partners there. The theme is Roots to Fruit, Grounded in Truth, Growing in Grace. And I and Debbie will be there along with other speakers. Dr. Nurse Mama Jessica Peck is going to be there. It's going to be a great, great time. And so I encourage you to check it out. You can register and find out more at afa.net/summit, afa.net/summit. And this is something that American Family Association has done now for several years, and it really is a great conference for the whole family, and just a lot of fun and a super environment, and you learn, you grow, and you make good friends, and you meet new people. And so I encourage you to check it out, and I look forward to seeing you there at the Roots to Fruit Activate Summit, July 16th through the 18th. Okay, so what do you do when the work doesn't seem to be working? Moses went to the Lord, and he was so frustrated because he didn't want to go to Egypt at all. The Lord had to really press him. He had all these excuses. I can't go. You know, that Pharaoh down there in Egypt, he thinks he's God. I mean, how am I going to go to him? And when the people got mad at Moses, because they said, you've made things worse. What you did have made it worse, has made it worse for us. May the Lord, they said to him, look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. I mean, can it get worse than that? You've put us in the crosshairs of them killing us. And so Moses went to the Lord, and he said, "Oh Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." That's true from Moses' perspective, very limited perspective. See, he was judging not where something was headed, he was judging it where it was. He was judging it in a snapshot. You can't judge your life in a snapshot. When you do that, you're going to be all over the map. You're going to be running by feelings. You're going to be walking by sight and not by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not sight. We're to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And there are always going to be naysayers. There are always going to be detractors. And in our country, when you look at it from a national perspective, you have roughly half of the country that hates Donald Trump. I saw a thing with James Carville the other day, the Democratic consultant. I mean, he was almost foaming at the mouth talking about how much he hated Donald Trump and how he wants to hate him even more. He said, yes, I have TDS and I want more of it. He just hates the guy and he's cussing up a storm. And I mean, it's like a deranged lunatic. I told some friends the other day, I said, hey, I thought Joe Biden was just a terrible, horrible president. I mean, he's a puppet for Barack Obama, in my opinion. I think Barack was calling all the shots and Biden was just being carted out there reading a teleprompter. But I didn't hate the guy. I mean, I was praying for the guy that the Lord would open his blind eyes to truth. I pray that for all those, Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer and all these people, AOC and the recently defeated Jasmine Crockett, that God would open their eyes to the truth, that they would come to know Christ. I had somebody online, they were saying, I pray for you that you would experience all the hardships that these undocumented immigrants are experiencing, since you are for immigration and for ICE agents, that you would experience, you know, praying the plagues of the apocalypse basically over me. And I said, okay, well, I'm praying for you that the Lord would, his kindness would lead you to repentance, that you would come to know Christ in a real and personal way in your life, that God would bless you and keep you, and the Lord would make his face shine upon you. And I didn't say all that stuff, but that's my focus. That's my emphasis. I want people to be blessed, not people to be cursed. Now, if those continue in a way that's harmful, yeah, I want them stopped. I don't want child molesters and human sex traffickers to be blessed in their sin. I want them to be stopped in their sin, but I don't want them to die and go to hell. As Paul said, brethren, my prayer to God and my desire is that Israel would be saved. He wanted them to come to know Christ. So here's what Moses does. He prays. He brings that to the Lord. He's very honest, very frustrated. Lord, you haven't done anything. You haven't delivered Israel. You said you were going to deliver Israel, and you sent me, and ever since I came to Pharaoh, he has done harm to this people. Now it's bricks without straw. How can you do that? And the quota of bricks doesn't diminish, and he's whipping the people, and they're in dire straits. You have not delivered your people at all. Here's the divine response. Then the Lord, Yahweh, said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he will let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of his land. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them from the land of Canaan to the land in which they sojourn. Furthermore, I've heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh, Lord, all in caps. God was going to do that. Now, here is the situation. You know, when Pharaoh, full of pride, he fancies himself to be a god. Who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice? That's throwing down the gauntlet. And the Lord's like, oh, okay, Pharaoh, you want to go toe-to-toe with me? Well, let's have a round together. Let's go toe-to-toe. You think you're so tough? And it's plague after plague after plague after plague, ending in the death of Pharaoh's own son, the death angel that killed the firstborn. He brought Egypt, the mightiest nation in the world at that time, he brought Egypt to destruction. And then If that weren't enough, when they went after Israel, as they were fleeing through the Red Sea, parts of the Red Sea, Israel goes through the Red Sea. When Pharaoh and his armies tried to go through the Red Sea, what does the Lord do? He brings the waters back together, and he turns Pharaoh and his armies into fish food to show, I am the Lord. You want to know who is the Lord, that you should obey his voice? All right, I'll introduce you to myself. And God decimated Egypt, because the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And you know, you think about the Battle of Armageddon, the mother of all battles that is coming up. We read about it in the book of the Revelation. It's not much of a battle as far as the fighting goes. When the Lord comes back, now the Jews are fighting, Israel's fighting, and they're being overwhelmed and they're about to be totally destroyed, but the Lord comes back. And we come back with him as the raptured saints. We come back with him, and the Lord does battle. And how does the battle go? It's not like Rocky fighting Apollo Creed, where it's back and forth and Rocky gets knocked down and then Creed gets knocked down. It's not like that. The Lord comes back and he speaks a word. The sharp sword goes out of his mouth, because the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the sword that goes out of his mouth, come from his mouth, Revelation 19:15, comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And then there is death. With the word of God comes death, and the blood flows, the Bible tells us, up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, to all the birds which fly in mid heaven, come, assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves and small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. The Lord destroys them, bam, just like that, because God is God. Who is the Lord? Pharaoh said that I should obey his voice. Well, he's the creator of the universe. He's God. You are nothing. You are a zero compared to him. All the nations, the Bible says in Isaiah 40, all the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as meaningless and less than nothing. God is so great. Listen. Are you doing the work and it doesn't seem like it's working? Are you getting discouraged? Are you ready to throw in the towel on seeking the Lord because it doesn't seem like God is answering you? It seems like he's a million miles away. Are you saying, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? As David said in Psalm 13, you know, David had what the theologians like to call the dark night of the soul, where God seems a million miles away. He experienced that. Joseph experienced that. Jeremiah experienced that. Many in Scripture have experienced that. Many outside of Scripture who love the Lord and follow the Lord have experienced that, where it doesn't seem like God is going to deliver, but he does deliver. As Paul said, the last chapter he ever penned, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory. And he got his head cut off not too long after writing that. And the Lord delivered him. He brought him home to heaven. And no doubt he said to the Apostle Paul when he came into his presence. Well done, my good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Let me just encourage you as you hear things, and no doubt you'll see all the legacy media folks that hate Donald Trump, the CNN folks that are just 95% negative on Donald Trump, regardless of anything he does. Now they have things that they can point to and say, look, see, this is not working. You see the oil prices, they're higher than ever. You see the gas prices higher than ever. They have a new Ayatollah now in Iran. They're not backing down at all. And all your tough bravado, it's going for naught. And people are dying. And this is not working. Remember Exodus chapter 5 and Exodus chapter 6. Remember that you don't judge a thing by where it is. You judge it by where it's headed. And you look at your own life and you ask yourself, listen, am I heading and walking with the Lord? Am I walking in the light with the Lord? Am I letting His Word govern my life? Or am I walking in darkness? Am I walking in pride? Am I doing what the prodigal did and just say, well, I want to do my own thing. I want to live my life my own way. I had a friend of mine say one time, and he was trying to walk with the Lord, and life got really, really hard. He was working on a church staff. He got accused of some things that he didn't do. He's so frustrated, and he basically said to the Lord in his hurt and in his anger, well, okay, God, I gave you a shot, and this is, you know, I'm in the ditch now, so I think I'm going to start running my own life. People do that all the time. They bail out too quickly on the Lord and His will. Don't do that. Keep doing what's right. And God will bless, and God will deliver, and God will show Himself as the God who's mighty and strong. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we are up against a break. But when we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony that you can share that would encourage somebody else to not quit. Men ought always to pray, Jesus said, and not to faint, not to quit. I'd love to hear from you. So give me a call, 888-589-8840. We'll be right back.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about the subject when the work doesn't seem to be working. When you're doing what you believe God has called you to do, but you're not seeing the results. It can be hard to keep going. That's the way it was for Moses. He said, Lord, you sent me here. I didn't want to go here. You sent me here to Pharaoh, and it's just gotten worse. It's gotten so much worse. It would have been so much better had I not done this. But Moses was obedient. He was doing what God called him to do. And so God has His way of doing things. His ways are not our ways. We just keep doing. Our job is to be obedient to the Lord, that we would do His will. And we just know that His will is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We pray according to His will. We do His will. We walk in His ways. We walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. What does that mean? That means everything is going to be hunky-dory for us. We're never going to have a problem, never going to have a difficulty, never going to have people come up against us. Of course not. In the world you have tribulation, Jesus said, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Man, as it says in the book of Job, Job 14, verse 1, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of trouble. We're going to have trouble. As Adrian Rogers used to say, the Lord didn't call his little darlings to save them out of trouble. He came to get in trouble with them, to be with them in trouble. I will be with you and will not leave you nor forsake you. And as Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And we are soldiers in the Lord's army. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He said it was going to be worth it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. It's not for naught in the Lord. And we can trust him. It will be worth it in the end. I think about what Ed Heinzen said on his deathbed. Dr. Ed Heinzen, the prophecy expert, he told his family in a moment of lucidity, because he had been in a medically induced coma, he had a vision of heaven, and he said to his family, stay faithful. It is worth it. So that's a good word for all of us, even when the work doesn't seem to be working. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Marco on the line from Texas. Marco, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, thank you. Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I love you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
First of all, before I ask my question, I want to encourage people to hold life with an open hand. The only thing you should cling on to is Jesus.
Amen.
In my walk, I come to realize I'm never going to understand every single thing. I don't understand why things happen. But I do know, just like Job, that God is in control at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Even when things are allowed in my life that don't make sense, I see weeks, days, months, years later, God being glorified. My relationship with him getting closer, me relying on him even more each time, feeling like a fish out of water if I'm not in his word. If I'm not praying, he's took me to a place where I've been able to love my enemies. Mm. Now, I don't like what they do. I don't agree what they do, but I do feel a love and a compassion for them. And I encourage my brothers and sisters to hold life with an open hand and only cling on to God. Mm. And my question is, at a Bible study, it came up about Jesus. And when he came here down on earth and he took on a human form, was Jesus perfect when he was here on earth? That's my question. Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, thank you, Marco. Yeah, he was definitely perfect. And it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, though he was a son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And the Lord suffered. And if Jesus suffered in this life, when he was in his, you know, earthly ministry, and we follow after him, he said that the slave is not greater than his master. If they obeyed my word, they'll obey your word. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. We shouldn't be surprised when difficulties come, because if we follow the Lord, we're going to be, as it says in Exodus 5, we've become odious to Pharaoh. We're going to be odious to the world as Christians who walk in the light and stand up for truth. As Jesus said, John chapter 7, verse 7, told his brothers, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its deeds are evil. And as we speak the truth in love, and as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? He convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. And if we're walking with him, then our lives are going to be convicting to people. And some people will respond to it. As Jesus said in John chapter 3, this is the message that light has gone into the world. Let me read it directly. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. And so we are an aroma, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're an aroma of Christ to the world, to some an aroma of life to life, and to some an aroma of death to death. And who is adequate for these things? I'm not, you're not, we're not, nobody is. But we do. We are presence as we shine and share. For some people, that is going to attract them to Christ. For others, it will repel them because they don't want to be exposed. And that's God's business, and that's a person's heart. You can't make a person trust Christ. You can just be faithful to warn them, to shine, to share, and God the Holy Spirit has to work on their heart. And I'm not a person that believes in irresistible grace, because at Acts chapter 7, they resisted. Peter, Stephen said in his sermon, hey, you who are always resisting the Holy Spirit, people can resist. And people have to make the decision to surrender to Jesus. It's the right decision, and it is a decision that will bless them for all eternity. So I appreciate that, Marco. Jesus was perfect, is perfect, does everything perfectly, and yet the perfect God suffered in this life. He suffered on the cross to redeem you and me. Well, we have David on the line from Florida. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. Just to reiterate what everybody else says, we really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And your faithfulness to come on the air and share the Word of God. But what I see with Moses and what he had with Israel, and it's just, you know, Moses is like a drill sergeant. He'll teach you how to fight a battle. He will give you all the ammunition you need, but you get into battle, you've got to fight it. He's not going to be there holding your gun for you, just speaking just out of whatever.
Right.
But we have to have relationship with Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. No matter who is preaching to us, we've got to be in the Word. We got to know Christ ourselves personally.
Right.
I reflect on Isaiah 2:22 all the time. Do not trust man whose life is in his nostrils. Trust in the Lord. And that is my thing. Every day of the week, all the time I see 2:22, and it constantly reminds me of trust the Lord, not man. We have to be relational with Christ. Man, yes. Man is our sojourner, giving us strength and encouragement, but we have to fight the battle. David's warrior took on, 10,000 Palestinians? He drew a line and says, no further. Shammah was his name. We've got to have relationship, and that's the only way it's going to work, is relationship, and nothing else will destroy us, because we are in the grace of God. And that's what I've got to say this morning, Pastor. Thank you.
Yeah, good word, David. I totally agree. Yeah, you don't stop regarding man, Isaiah 2:22, stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? Now, that doesn't mean we don't listen to men. We do, and but we check them out. Acts 17:11, as the Bereans heard Paul, gladly received his word, but then they checked him out, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And just know that any single person, I mean, we all have feet of clay, as my friend Pastor Steve Brumblow told me years and years and years ago. So true. And so nobody walks perfectly with the Lord. Nobody is immune to temptation. Jesus was not immune to temptation, although he never sinned. He was tempted, he never sinned. But we're not Jesus when it comes to that. And, you know, there's nobody, as Solomon said, indeed, there's not a righteous man on the earth who continually does good and never sins. But we can follow people who are following Jesus. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. You can imitate me because I'm imitating Jesus. You can follow after me because I'm following after him. It doesn't mean you do everything I do, because sometimes I'll blow it. Sometimes I'll lose my temper. Sometimes I'll get worried or whatever. But I'm going to lead you in the right direction. I think that's a good word. So thank you, David. We have Sherry on the line from Oklahoma. Sherry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Shreve. Enjoy your program. You've used many words this morning that make me think of what's on my heart, what's concerning me. You said, keep on doing the right thing. Results, be of good courage. John Thune is not doing the right thing. He could be of good courage and call the SAVE Act to the floor for a vote today and pass it by using the talking filibuster. May I give a phone number and encourage every listener to call John Thune at 202-224-2321. Let's let him hear from right-thinking Americans to stop making excuses to pass the SAVE Act. We need some good news. Republicans need some good news today so we can continue to support our fellow Republicans. Again, that number is 202-224-2321. Senator
yes.
John Thune is Senate Majority Leader. He's making excuses, but he could do it today.
Yeah, that's a good word. I don't understand why he's not doing that. And so, Sherry, I agree with you. We need to put pressure on him. Here's the problem with so many politicians. They're politicians. They're trying to see, okay, what can I do to get reelected, and how can I compromise here and compromise there, instead of just saying I'm going to do the right thing and let the chips fall where they may. It's obvious. The SAVE Act. Okay, this is what Trump posted today on, I think, on Truth Social or Twitter, whatever it was, X. He said, great job by hardworking Scott Pressler on Fox and Friends talking about using the filibuster or talking filibuster in order to pass the Save America Act, an 88% issue with all voters. It must be done immediately. It supersedes everything else. Must go to the front of the line. I, as president, will not sign other bills until this is passed, and not the watered-down version. Go for the gold. Must show voter ID and proof of citizenship. That's a no-brainer. Everybody ought to do that, and people are for that, 75%, 85%, whatever it is. No mail-in ballots except for military, illness, disability, or travel. I agree with that. We should all agree with that. Hey, if you are able, get to the polls and vote. No men in women's sports. Amen to that. No transgender mutilation for children. Amen and amen and amen to that. Then he says, do not fail, President Donald J. Trump. I agree with all those things. Those things are all righteous things. I had a back and forth today with Grok about the SAVE Act. And, you know, Grok is, that's the Elon Musk AI. Grok seems like you're talking to Caitlin Collins from CNN. I get sick of that. But I asked the question. I said, does the SAVE Act, passing the SAVE Act, does that make our elections more secure, more fair, and more truthful and right, or less secure, less fair, less truthful and right? And obviously, the answer is, well, it makes it more. Elections are more secure in terms of their results being tamper-proof and only American citizens voting if we pass the SAVE Act. Now, the other side says, we don't need that. We don't, I mean, it's already, nobody's voting like that. It's just a waste of time. It's just going to make it harder for American citizens. Well, then so be it. Make it harder. It's so important. And I'm of the opinion, I'm on the limb here, but if you don't pay taxes, you shouldn't get a vote. You don't have any skin in the game. You know, it's just like playing poker, to use a poor illustration. You got to ante up before you get your cards. If you don't put your ante in, you don't get any cards. I think we ought to do that in America, and that people have skin in the game, and they're making decisions that are for the good of the whole, not just, hey, gimme, gimme, gimme. I want people to give to me. Well, thanks for listening today to Real Truth for Today. When the work doesn't seem to be working, what do? We keep praying. We keep doing what is right. We keep trusting God. We don't throw in the towel. We don't quit. We don't change horses because we say, oh, this one looks better for the short term. No, look at the long term and trust God to make it right. Well, thanks for listening. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.